Activate your voice.
Fight for your rights.
Speak up.
Speak out.
We're union and we're proud.
Go union.
Live from Maryland, this is Activate Live.
Welcome to Activate Live, the Machinist Union's weekly show about labor, working people, and what we all go through on the job. I'm Tanya Hutchins, coming to you live from the Robert J. Kolaski Studio at our headquarters in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Here's Delaine Adams now with the latest IAM news.
Great news out of Arkansas. So Local 463, 140 men and women working at the VSE Corporation at Little Rock Air Force Base have a new contract. Look at that smiling group right there. So they maintain the C-130 aircraft. So they have a new contract with increased wages, financial, health, and welfare benefits. So, again, congratulations to Local 463 and the Southern Territory.
That's great news.
Great news, great news. So
what else is going on?
Well, today we were at a rally. Medicare for All Act of 2019 was introduced by Representative Pramila Jayapal and Representative Debbie Dingell and 100 other co-sponsors. Great pictures from the rally. But basically, the Medicare for All Act of 2019 will just improve and expand our already successful Medicare program. And as every IAM member knows, that every time you go to the negotiation table, health care is the number one issue. And you always hear from employers on why they can't increase wages or increase other benefits. It's because health care is that big elephant in the room that stops any progress from getting made. So if we can figure out how to solve that issue and get Medicare for All 2019 Act passed, then that will help us at the negotiation table and hopefully help us increase wages.
I saw that we were tweeting from that rally as well, and one of the things that we said is that we're one of the few industrialized nations that do not have universal health care.
Yeah, we are. And one another important point that was made is that we have the highest health care costs, but we're average in terms of service and quality. So we have to figure out how to fix that. And, I mean, we're unique in the sense of we know, and we know stories, personal stories, of our members in Canada who have health care and how that system works and how that helps them at the negotiation table. So, again, we just need to figure this out and push it forward and work on increasing wages.
You know, health care is one of those things, you know, if you have an operation or an accident, like you could go bankrupt.
You can.
You could lose your house. You can end up homeless. And a lot of those stories start out with people saying that, you know, their insurance capped out or they just couldn't afford to pay for it.
Yeah, and that was a few people share stories of how they did go bankrupt or having to make hard choices, life and death decisions, just because of health care. So, again, you know, we'll just keep pushing and we'll keep educating members on this bill, on this legislation.
What can they do to help? What can members do to help?
We'll put something out in IMAIL tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have a call to action, a petition. But, you know, let's support this bill and let's move forward so, again, we can get to the negotiation table and deal with other issues and not have this be the thing that kind of stops any type of progress at the table.
Okay.
So.
Great.
That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Delaine.
Right.
We appreciate it.
Take care, Tanya.
Rushing back here.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Well, we all have difficult issues and circumstances that we deal with, but we may not always talk about them openly. Sometimes those issues affect our work and the relationships that we have with family and friends. Well, employee assistance programs exist to support us. Well, to help navigate the EAP system, we have Vinny Sarasso, a member of IAM Local 1776 here. And Vinny, you've been in the addiction prevention field for nearly 25 years, and you were just appointed to head up the IAM Addiction Services. So tell us a little bit about you.
I've been in addiction services, like you said, addiction prevention for, it's probably over 25 years now. Got into this because of my own personal sobriety, which is about 32 and a half years. When I had an issue, I basically went to my union And they helped me out. And here I am 32 and a half years later, still sober. So this is the gift we want to continue to give back, and that's helping our membership.
That is inspirational, 32 and a half years, because I know some people are just struggling to get through the first year.
It's very difficult. There's a lot of obstacles to overcome, but support is key. If they basically do what we set out for them in treatment, they should have a good chance at long-term sobriety.
Well, first, let's get into what EAP is. What is the mission of EAP?
The mission basically is to help people restore their lives and get back to where they're living a comfortable life, a normal, quote, normal life. They may have issues at home. They may have issues at work. They may have depressive disorders, anxiety disorder, addiction. Whatever that is, EAP and the Addiction Services wants to help.
Well, let's talk about some of the objectives, and we can put this up on the screen as well. They are to assist IM members and employees in becoming proactive and solving problems affecting the quality of their work and personal lives. Is that when you kind of first notice something's wrong, when it's not only affecting your life, but it's also affecting other people's lives?
Sure. I mean, your coworkers are usually the first to know that you have an issue. But it takes the individual to actually go out there and ask for help. And we're here for the union members and their families when there are issues. But they're, like I said, their coworkers notice this first, because they're the ones that have to pick up the slack for the individual that's suffering from whatever it is they're suffering from.
Now, I know everyone has a different issue, and there are so many issues. What are some examples of the issues that you may deal with?
The bulk of the issues basically are mental health issues. Secondary to that, there's addiction issues and, you know, that sort of thing.
But, so that when you get into, like, alcohol, but somebody else may be addicted to, like, opiates, for instance.
Yeah. The major issues basically are, like I said, addiction, mental health, things like that. But in recent times, we've gotten into more of what we call a broad brush EAP. Years ago, I mean decades ago, EAP was all about alcohol addiction, period. End of story, just alcohol addiction.
So that was the only thing they could help you with?
Only thing they could help you with is alcohol. Then we kind of moved into alcohol and drug addiction. And then recently, and what I mean recently is, you know, the last 20 years or so, we've moved into this broad brush approach to employee assistance. And what that is basically is anything that is affecting your work performance can be solved, or you can get assistance from the EAP program. And some of those might be elder care. You know, if you have a parent, an elder parent living with you, and you're having issues, you can reach out to EAP and they'll assist you wherever they can. If you're having any depression in your life, financial issues, these are issues that EAP can help you with.
Now, what if there's something where it's a case of workplace violence, like we had in Aurora, Illinois? And I understand you just came back from there recently.
I'm part of the critical incident response team for the union, and we did respond. We were out there on Saturday afternoon, and basically we left there, I guess it was Thursday evening, because the plant was closed on Friday. But yeah, we went out there and we did group debriefings, and afterwards we did individual type diffusings to help the membership that was that actually witnessed this this critical incident.
What does that do to a worker to be going through something emotional, whether it is some of the issues we've already talked about or workplace violence? Like, what type of emotional toll does that take?
It varies from person to person, to be honest with you. Some people need a lot more help than others, put it that way. When we do the group debriefing, we figure out who's suffering the most, and those people usually come back for the individual defusing afterwards. So, but as far as a critical incident, it takes a different toll on everyone. You can't predict how many people it's going to affect severely and how many it won't.
A lot of people are afraid to ask for help. So there's this stigma around what they're dealing with. Like, people may not want to admit that they're depressed or that they're an alcoholic or an addict. How do you get past that stigma?
That's a tough one because we've been working on that for decades. Having these issues is quite common. Having a depression issue or an anxiety issue, they're pretty common. But everything is confidential we seek to help. And
that's a key point, the confidentiality.
It's a key point. It's definitely a key point because once you call us, your secret is safe with us. We don't put you in some file somewhere that's shared with any union delegates or higher-ups or representatives or anything like that. This is between you and the actual EAP, and that's it. If you called me for help, I'm going to get you the help that you need, and that's basically it.
Okay, so other key points besides confidentiality, you work through denial. Is that one of the things that you work through, or what are some of the steps, you know, when you're trying to find somebody and they don't know what professional to go to?
Well, working through denial usually comes before you call me.
Okay.
You know, you got to work through your denial first, and then you come to me, and then we basically set up that confidential conversation. We basically do a short assessment, and we refer you to the professional that will help you out the most with your needs.
Now, how do you keep in touch with people when they're in treatment? Because, I mean, do you monitor along with the professional?
We basically ask the employee, the member, to sign a release form. When that release form is signed, basically the treatment center can communicate with us. If it's not signed, then we don't know what happens to that member after he goes into treatment.
And what type of aftercare is there?
We always set up aftercare as far as like drug and alcohol treatment. We want to set you up with residential care, but we also want to set you up with the second stage of it, which is when you get home. We want to set you up with either intensive outpatient or outpatient services, and we definitely want to get you started with either AA meetings or NA meetings with a sponsor and working the 12 steps, because people think, well, I don't need that. It's not the case. You definitely need the support. And AA and NA, they're your support system.
Do you think it's getting easier when it comes to the stigma and the asking for help? Just in this day and age, do you think it's getting any better?
It's definitely getting better because there's such a problem out there.
I know, I think I read somewhere that like 45 million Americans are dealing with some sort of addiction issue, whether it's them or a family member.
It's basically one in six households, if you really want to cut down to the smallest number. So there are so many issues out there that the stigma is kind of dying down a little bit, but it still exists. It'll probably always exist. But we notice a lot more people reaching out for help. So we have people reaching out, and that's really what counts.
Okay, so who benefits from an employee assistance program? If it's not just the employees?
Well, the employees' family members, they're all part of the EAP. They're all part of addiction services. So let's say if someone working in a plant has an issue, then basically we can help that person. If someone's family has an issue, we can help them. We can help them also.
And making sure that everybody's healthy makes the community healthier, doesn't it?
It makes the community healthier. It makes your coworkers healthier because they don't have to worry about you anymore. It makes the job a little easier because nobody has to pick up the slack for anyone, and it's just an all-around better situation.
Okay, so we have this phone number up here for EAP, the 301-335-0735 number. Is that the general number for the Employee Assistance Program?
That's the general number for EAP, and you would call that number basically for any kind of mental health issue, elder care, financial, and gambling.
Yeah, like
anything like that. Like,
yeah, what is covered? Because some people thinking, like, they are assuming maybe alcohol or drug addiction, but like you mentioned gambling, which is something completely else, and even like sex addiction or there's so many other things.
Basically, anything that's going to affect your work performance, you can get assistance through EAP. Anything. And that's why I brought up earlier the broad brush approach to EAP. It's anything you need help with, we can attempt to help you. There aren't many issues we haven't seen as a whole.
Now, what if somebody wants to get in touch with you personally and it's an addiction issue?
We have a separate phone number for that, and it's an addiction services hotline. It rings right to my cell phone. Basically, it's up on the screen right now. Any kind of substance abuse or alcohol disorder, anything at all, you can reach me 24/7. What we do is I have a conversation with the addicted individual. I figure out, I do a short assessment of needs. We search for services that will best help that individual. We help them get into that facility or start those services. And then we look into aftercare when the original treatment is done.
Now, we have a lot of comments that are coming in, and they're really positive. I'm looking at Facebook right now, and there are so many comments. Like even my boss, Bob Wood, is saying that opioids are such a national epidemic. He's proud of the IAM doing its part to support our membership. You know, having worked in a shop, most people are worried about going to the company, EAP, because it can be used against them. He was like, the IAM, you know, has the best interests of the working workers in mind. It sounds like a lot of the people that are commenting, you know about EAP and they're, you know, they have positive experiences with them. Even Ryan Kelly is commenting. Ryan is saying EAP is such an important and valuable service, which is so often misunderstood as a substance abuse treatment program, mm-hmm. like you said.
Yep.
He says there's so much more there, especially on the mental health front. It is truly a noble gift. Wow.
And we are much better to come to than an employer. We only have the best interest of the member at heart. When you go to an employer, EAP, mm-hmm. they could, I'm not saying they would, but they could have the employer's best interest in the front of their mind. And basically, when you come to the union for assistance, we only care about getting you the assistance. We're not really looking at the employer or lost productivity because somebody's being taken out of the workforce. We only want to get the person the proper help. We want to do it right. We want to do it once and go back to work and be done with it.
Now, some people hear of EAP and MAP or MAP. What is the difference?
The services are basically the same. MAP is Members Assistance Program, which basically we are. Mm-hmm. We're a Members Assistance Program, although we don't want to, you know, spend a gazillion dollars reprinting everything. So we continue to call ourselves an EAP. But the EAP basically is usually employer or employer-worker sponsored, and the Members Assistance Program is union-sponsored. So okay. That's the only, it's who sponsors it.
Now, we have a lot of classes down at the Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center, and I think we have a calendar of when they're coming up, but what do they learn in these classes?
Basically,
we
want to...
EAP 1 here starts July 28th to August 2nd. Is that like an introductory class?
EAP 1 is definitely an introductory class. It goes through the history. It goes through something called core technology. There's a lot of good beginner-type educational classes in EAP 1. And you basically get a feel for whether this is right for you. it's not right for everybody.
Okay.
It could be kind of demanding, to be honest with you, because you may get a call at midnight. You may get a call on a Saturday afternoon. If you commit to being a part of the EAP, you commit to answering the call of your coworker at any point in time.
So the people that think that, okay, this is for me, I want to do this, and they've completed EAP 1, then they go on to EAP 2
yep.
to learn more advanced techniques?
It gets more and more advanced as you go.
Okay.
And we want to have you educated and ready to kind of hit the workforce running, hit the ground running, as far as helping people. But there's always support. You go through the EAP 1, 2, 3, and 4, you can always call someone like me for mentoring.
Okay.
In case there's things that, and obviously everything you see, you've probably never seen before. So you want to bounce something off of me, I'm always here 24/7 by phone.
So who would make a good EAP trainer or an EAP staff member? Who are you looking for to take these classes?
Well, we're looking for individuals that want to assist, that have that kind of, for lack of a better word, calling to help other people. Maybe someone reached out to them and helped them years ago, like me, and you're just trying to return the favor. And maybe they've had this sort of thing. Maybe they've had issues in their families that they've gotten help for, and maybe they want to start doing that themselves for other people.
Give back to the community.
You're giving
back. Forward, right?
You're basically giving back.
Wow. Now, I know because it's confidential, we can't really, like, give examples of, like, any personal things, but are there any stories that stand out to you without giving away any confidential information?
There are so many that stand out.
Yeah.
But really, it's the act of giving someone the assistance and then having them call you back 6 months later or a year later or 2 years later. I get a call every August 15th, believe it or not, from someone that I helped, and for the life of me, every year I look forward to that call, but I can't place where I know the guy from.
Okay.
But he goes into detail about how I helped him and how he's still sober, and I just kind of, well, that's great, but every August 15th he calls me, and that happens to be my sobriety date.
Wow.
That he calls me on to thank me for helping him.
That is
so
amazing.
That just really stands out. And every year, like I said, I look forward to that phone call. And
shows you how much of a difference that made in his life.
Definitely. And it happens all the time.
Wow.
I get phone calls from all over the country. And I just go from one person to the next, getting them the help that they need. And, sometimes you do hear from them 6 months later.
Okay, here's the thing. Since we're an international union, does Canada have a separate EAP program, or...?
They do.
Okay.
They do. They actually do have... Because they have socialized health care, they do have their own way of doing things.
Okay.
So they have a separate number. So if you're a member in Canada, you know who to call, basically.
Okay. And we'll try to put that in comments after the show, what the yep. number is for our Canadian members. We got some more comments coming in. I am District Lodge 70, and I'm leaning in because I can't see very well, but it says, it's not advisable to use the company's EAP. I'm grateful to have the IIM EAP to share with members. So that shows you, again, that we're looking out for the members.
Absolutely. And, you always want to reach out to a union brother or sister first, because they're always going to have your best interest at heart. Like I said, the only thing I care about is the member or their family. I don't really look at, let's see if this works with the company. Doesn't really matter. I only care about the union member and getting them better.
Okay, so if you're just joining us, we're talking about the employee assistance programs or MAP, the member assistance programs. And for anybody who missed the top of the show, just briefly explain how EAP works.
EAP basically is employee assistance programming, and basically if there's any issue that you have, you would give us a call and we would try to help you with that issue, get you the right treatment that you need. If it's a drug or alcohol addiction, we would do an assessment and place you in the treatment that best fits your problems. If you have depression, anxiety, we would seek out mental health professionals in your area for you to go talk to.
Okay. Thank you.
Financial issues, we would seek out the best financial planner or someone like that to talk to.
Yeah.
Debt counselors, things like that.
And he's been talking about elder care, gambling addictions. Mm-hmm. There's so many issues. I guess if you're having an issue and it's affecting your work or it's affecting your job or your relationship with coworkers or family, it can't hurt to call.
I would say call anyway, because, again, someone like me, I've been doing this for a very long time. If I don't know the answer, I know where to point you to get you the answer. So call us anyway.
Well, let us know. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention that we haven't touched on? Because I know this is just so big. It's such a big issue, especially with opiates in this day and age.
Yeah, that's a much bigger issue now, especially with the drug overdoses that are happening at a record number. 2017, we're thinking the numbers are going to come in at somewhere around 72,000 overdose deaths.
Wow.
And that doesn't take into account the tens of thousands of overdoses that don't die. There's no way to record overdoses.
Wow.
You can record overdose deaths, but it's really tough to record an overdose when the person gets hit with Narcan and then gets up and leaves. There's no way to really record that. So there's tens of thousands of overdoses in a year. There might be hundreds of thousands of overdoses in a year that we actually don't hear about. We only hear about the tragic ones that actually end up dying.
Are there community partners that you work with?
We work with community partners all over the country, treatment centers. Every county has services that you can tap into, that we do tap into on occasion when we need to. But yeah, we have community partners all over.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for doing this service for our
members.
My
pleasure.
Because this helps so many members and so many family members. And, you know, deep down my gut feeling is saying this is holding family members together, because you never know when a tragedy is going to come or...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And every one of us has been touched by some sort of either substance abuse or like you said, workplace violence or some issue.
I agree. I mean, especially with substance abuse issues, alcoholism, drug addiction, I always say if you don't know anybody that's been affected by that, you will soon, which is very sad to say, but that's just the God's honest truth.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the IAM. I know
thank
I'm a little
you.
Belated, but
welcome
thank you
back.
So much. Yes.
Welcome back.
That's right. Welcome back.
I was actually a dues-paying member of Local Lodge 1776 in Philadelphia.
That's right.
And I'm back to being a dues-paying member of 1776 again.
All right. Well, what were you doing when you first joined 1776?
I'm an airline guy. I come out of transportation.
Excellent.
So I left there in 2006 or 7, and I'm back now in 2019, January 1st.
Well, we're glad you're back.
Thanks for having me.
Thank
I appreciate
you, Vinny.
It.
Okay, and remember, he said you can call him 24/7. Let's put that number up again, Joe. It's an 888 number, and this gets you directly to Vinny Sarasso. 888-250-4IAM, which is 4426. 888-250-4426. You can just remember 250-4IAM, the number 4 and then IAM.
That's 24/7. I'll pick that phone up 24/7.
That's a pretty good deal.
It is. It's definitely a good deal. But we're here to help. We're here to help.
Great. Oh, we have another comment also. Okay, this is from James Murray, who's saying that EAP helped me refocus after my divorce had sent me into a downward spiral here in Montreal. EAP works if you want it to work. How important is that?
That's a great comment, actually.
Thanks, James.
Thank you for that comment. If you have an issue, you have control of it. And with our assistance, we'll help you get through it. But, you know, once you realize that you have an issue and the desire is there, we'll help you get through it.
I've heard that said a lot, that like you have to want the help, or you have to at least be ready for the help.
Yeah, you have to be ready for the help. If somebody kind of forces you into it, it depends on why they're forcing you into it. Sometimes that has a way of keeping you sober, keeping you drug-free or alcohol-free, but sometimes it has the opposite effect. So when you're ready, and that's why this program is 100% voluntary. Nobody makes you call EAP. You call EAP when you basically had enough. And the way we like to look at it regarding drug and alcohol abuse is when the consequences outweigh the fun, that's when people reach out and get help. When it's still fun and when you still have money in your pocket, people don't reach out for help.
You know, we've talked about the stigma, but do you have any advice for a family member that is about to approach someone who needs help with what they can say or how they say it?
I would basically call me because I'm a board-certified interventionist, too, so I could tell you the exact wording to use for your particular situation. It does vary, but you basically want to approach the situation with love, not hate. You know, you can collect more flies with honey than vinegar, so
right.
And sometimes that's what we have to go by. But, you know, I would say give me a call, and I'll walk you through the entire process of what you need to do and what to say, what not to say, because there's a lot of landmines with approaching someone that you feel as though needs help.
All right. Thanks, Vinny.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. And again, you can call him 24/7. That's what he said. You two can join the conversation. So what do you think about the Employee Assistance Program? Comment now to activate your voice about EAP. Let us know if you've taken the classes at the Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center. And if you have, what you thought of those classes. And thank you to everyone that has commented so far on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And on YouTube, you can use that live chat up in the upper right-hand corner and chat with us. So great, great conversation. Wonderful.
I hope to come back and talk
yes,
more.
Yes, come back anytime. Literally, open invitation.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay.
Well, we're going to take a look back now to some history, and we are going to start with Black History because this is the last week of Black History Month. So we have had a lot of people make contributions to our union and our communities. We have Robert Roach here, who became the first Black member of IAM's Executive Council in 1999 as General Vice President of Transportation. He became General Secretary Treasurer in 2012 and retired in 2015. So here is saluting Robert Roach, who is now retired and president of the Alliance for Retired Americans. Still doing that work. This week's Labor History is brought to you by Unionist.com. The Order of Railroad Telegraphers, February 25th, 1965. It changed its name to the Transportation Communication Employees Union, which is now TCU-IAM, the Transportation Communications Union, present day. So it's part of our union. Nice history there. In 1937, 450 Woolworth's workers and customers in Detroit occupied a store for 8 days to support the Waiters and Waitresses Union. It was a sit-down strike to help get a 40-hour work week. Well, Supreme Court, 2 years later, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that sit-down strikes were illegal. It had been a major organizing tool for industrial unions. And looking back to a leap year, on February 29, 1940, Screen Actors Guild member Hattie McDaniel became the first Black person to win an Academy Award, honored for her portrayal of Mammy in Gone with the Wind. Well, grab your calendars. Here's what's coming up on our calendar of events for the Machinist Union. Registrations are due for the following classes. March 8th is the deadline for basic communicators. March 11th, which is my birthday, Retirees Education and Strategy, and also the deadline for Young Worker Strategy. They are actually going to be working together on those two classes, and we love it because there's automatic mentoring there when you bring together retirees and young workers. For more information, go to the website, wimpasinger.iamaw.org. So looking up at our meetings, We have the Minnesota State Council of Machinists meeting in Vadnais Heights, March 2nd to the 3rd. We have the Washington Machinist Council meeting in Olympia, March 12th to the 15th. The Missouri State Council meets in Jefferson City, March 24th to the 27th. 3 days later, March 30th, Arizona State Council meets in Prescott Valley. And the California Conference meets in Sacramento, March 30th and 31st. And you have time still to enter the 2019 IAM Photo Contest and the website and newsletter contest. That deadline is April 1st, so get those entries in as soon as you can. You have a little over 30 days to get in your best photos of machinists on the job, in the shop, or in the community, performing community service, and all those great newsletters and websites. Get those entries in by April 1st. More information is on our website. As far as other conferences go, we have Women Rising Unite the Fight. It's the Women's Conference, April 3rd to the 6th, in Las Vegas at Bally's. So you can still register for that. Looking forward to it. April 8th to the 11th is a transportation conference in Vegas. May 6th to the 8th is the legislative conference here in Washington, D.C. A lot of lobbying will be going on there. Then we have the Workers' Memorial Service. Our observance is going to be May 1st at 11 a.m. Eastern, and it's going to be at the Wimpasinger Center Workers' Memorial Park in Hollywood, Maryland. And the actual day for the Workers' Memorial Day is April 28th, which is a Sunday, but we're going to observe it on Wednesday, May 1st, and we will try to live stream this on our social media channels. So we had a lot happening this year. We're always trying to prevent workplace deaths. But they do happen, and this is when we can honor, we can mourn the dead and fight for the living during this time, May 1st. So mark your calendars. We also have the Communications Conference coming up June 4th to the 6th at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas. The theme is voice activation, and that's how we came up with the name for this show, because we teach everyone, all of the communicators across the country and across Canada, across North America, how to activate your voices when it comes to workers' rights, human rights, and civil rights, because they are all intertwined. So you got all that. We hope you marked your calendar. We try to let you know what's going on each week, and we add different events as we can. Well, thank you to everyone who has commented. That's it for this episode of Activate Live. Join us next Wednesday on this same social media channel. And remember, you can always watch the replay at any time. See you next Wednesday.